Bolts fans, how would you like to watch your favorite team on a 65-inch TV, courtesy of Bill Curry Ford, presenters of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast? Well, you can do just that. Every vehicle purchased at Bill Curry Ford this month gets a 65-inch TV coming along with it. Watch the Super Bowl, watch your Lightning all season long. A fantastic opportunity. Head to BillCurryFord.com for all the great offers and their transparent pricing. Proud presenters of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Man, I wish the playoffs were right now. Don't you, Tampa Bay? This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. And a happy weekend to you, Bolts Nation. 8 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning from last we spoke to this point. We got all 8 of them, because that's what we do these days in Tampa. We win hockey games, left and right. Any way you want to play it, we win it. And last night was a test of that theory, but we still came away with a big victory. So, where to begin? So much has happened this week that I'm going to have to push back a discussion I teased last week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, which was contract talks. The landmark deal for William Nylander of the Maple Leafs, 6 years at $6.9 million per season, gives us an insight as to where Braden Point's contract is going to go for the Bolts. But we can't do that this time around. We'll have to push it back closer to the holiday, because we had some heavyweight fights this past week on the ice. Tampa Bay completes a perfect homestand on the way to 8 straight victories. One of those wins was over Buffalo, who had won 10 straight coming into the game. Another one was over Colorado last Saturday, where it's a game that if you were talking to a fan who was in the stands, anybody who was watching on TV, or a neutral observer of the game, they all marveled at one of the complete efforts you will see over 60 minutes from any team across the sport in a long, long time. And then, of course, last night, it was a 4-1 victory over second-place Toronto. Not just second place in our division, second place in the league. Really good team that actually took it to us, and yet we still come away with a 4-1 win. So where to begin? I'm going to start actually with a feature, because I think this encapsulates the one player who stood out last night and a couple of guys who have stood out over the long haul of the season, but specifically this past week. Let's do the 3 stars of the week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Time now for the Joe Bolts Fan 3 stars of the week.
Greeting.
I can't give him the first star for playing in just one game. I really thought about it, but it's number 88 who is back on the ice for the Lightning. It's Andrei Vasilevskiy. He is
number 3.
That's right. Andrei Vasilevskiy is back in uniform. He played last night about a month after he broke his foot. Remember last week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, I'm not always going to pat myself on the back, but the intel I got was good. The information I got was good. When you try and predict timelines for injuries, you're going to get some right, you're going to get some wrong, but you just have to trust your sources. And in this case, I had a good one who said even after John Cooper broke practice last week on Thursday, that Andrei Vasilevskiy was going to still be a couple of weeks away. I was hearing he was on the early end of the timeline, that he was way, way ahead of schedule. And not only did Andrei Vasilevskiy return to the ice last night, John Cooper apparently was thinking about playing him as soon as Monday night against the New York Rangers. But I'm thankful we waited until Thursday. I'm thankful we waited until the Toronto game, because had it been anybody on this planet other than Andrei Vasilevskiy, we lose that hockey game. 48 saves ties a Lightning franchise record for a single game with Ben Bishop, and a lot of them were the acrobatic saves you've come to know and expect from Andrei Vasilevskiy, some that are going to make his career highlight reel. I was lucky enough last year to be in attendance for Vinny LeCavalier night against the Los Angeles Kings. It was a really special night. Weird night, too, that we wore white jerseys for that event. Usually you wear the home blues, but we were wearing the whites. And Andrei Vasilevskiy makes one of the saves of all time in Lightning lore, NHL history. where he puts his glove behind his back and stops Kopitar, who's coming in the lower right-hand circle as he's looking at it, as Andre's looking at it. And you have to double-take. I thought maybe Kopitar missed. I thought maybe he shot it into Vasilevsky's glove, but Andre tried to do that. And when he looked at it on the board, there was stunned silence in the moment. And then when everybody in attendance saw it on the video replay, the crowd erupted like we had scored a goal, like we had scored an overtime goal at that. It was a really cool place to be and moment to be in. And last night at Amalie, I'm sure, was much the same as he makes a save in front of the net going full splits. I think it was Marlowe, but it goes off his left pad and glove combo as he had it stacked. And then it rattles off the post, comes back behind him, and he kicks his legs in such a way that he's able to cover the puck. That was one of 48 saves. He made, apparently, 47 straight saves. Gave up a goal early on. Terrible pass by Nikita Kucherov through the middle of the zone. Led to a marker for Kasperi Kapanen. Starting to get old. I can remember his dad, Sammy Kapanen, playing. That was the capper on a play where I thought Toronto got away with a slew foot. It was actually Kapanen who tripped Victor Hedman, took his feet out from underneath him by kicking his left skate. Down to the ice went Victor. But that doesn't mean that Nikita Kucherov has to pass it through the middle of the zone like an idiot, which he did. At any rate, that was the only time Toronto scored on this night, and they should have scored about six or seven between the posts and great saves that Andre Vasilevsky made. He is the reason we come away with 2 points, and while Louis Domingue was a great storyline, it's nice to have one of the world's best at his position back where he belongs. The Lightning appear to be as loaded as can be from now into the next part of the season, which is the 2019 calendar year. Second star of the week, not the captain. We're going to save him for number one.
Number two.
I'm going to call him the Bolt Father. I understand that he's from Ontario, but with a name like Anthony Cirelli, like Tony Cirelli, and a game like he's playing right now, night in and night out, you got to give him some extra love, a nickname, and maybe a sounder. Tony Cirelli. 2 shorthanded goals in his last 5 games. In his last 4 games, he's got 5 goals. He's a +7, 6 points. Just an absolute beast on the third line. Great penalty killer. He's a winning player. He's faster than you think. He's got a little bit more skill than you think. But he does nothing special. He makes the right plays. He makes the safe plays. He makes the responsible plays. And he does so while only logging between 12 and 15 minutes a night. He is a key piece to the puzzle. When he debuted last year against Dallas, I remember doing this podcast. That was, I think, in March of this year. But he debuted, he scored a couple of goals, and I thought, well, isn't this a nice story? He gets his first crack at the NHL and gets a couple of goals in a night in Dallas where, you know, you're the toast of the town. It's never going to be this easy. 71 makes a lot of stuff look easy, and he's barely able to drink in the United States. It's incredible what he's able to do. These extra minutes that you get from a guy like Anthony Cirelli or a guy like Matthew Joseph when he's healthy or Adam Ernie, these are the ones that help sustain you as you head towards a playoff push. They're the ones that keep Nikita Kucherov's minutes down or Steven Stamkos' minutes down to where they're going to be fresh later in the year. Eric Chernak does the same thing on defense. We'll talk about Eric Chernak a little bit later in this podcast and the dilemma, the great dilemma we're in about what we're going to do with our defensive core, given the minutes that he's playing and the quality he's playing those minutes. Victor Hedman and Ryan McDonagh are spared because you have defensemen like Eric Chernak and Mikhail Sergachev, who can be out there, play responsibly, and with young legs. But Anthony Cirelli, overall, he's easy to love. He does the little things. He's a penalty killer. He's a scrapper after the whistle. We needed more grit as a team this last year or two. Anthony Cirelli is one of those guys to give us that grit. And last night, his shorthanded marker, after a beautiful feed from Ryan Callahan, springs him into a breakaway. His backhander, there's literally about a puck's width of room to Frederik Andersen's left. He fits it in there, and we're on our way. Also, that pass to Alex Killorn can't go overlooked last night. That's another winning play. He's got good vision. So the number 2 star of the week is Tony C., the Bolt Father, Anthony Cirelli. Number one star of the week, it's the return. He's been a playmaker for the last 100 games, but my God, if this guy scores with any regularity, we are in business.
Number one.
Get the Ric Flair woo, Steven Stamkos. Man, what a game he played against Colorado on Saturday. I wasn't in attendance. I was in the Tampa Bay area watching at a beach bar, and what a show he put on. Of course, Stamkos will always score goals from his office. That circle on the power play. It's the left-hand circle. If you're looking at it on the offensive chalkboard, it's the goalie's right. And no matter how hard goalies try, how much power play, or I'm sorry, penalty kill units, try and stagger themselves to prevent 91 from doing what he does, they just can't. They can't do it. He's reached 700 points for his career this week. Steven Stamkos is better than a point-a-game player. That's a testament to the playmaker he's become in the last year and a half. But if he starts to score goals independent of playing with Nikita Kucherov or Braden Point, it's really tough to beat us. 91 is always going to score on the power play, but if he can score goals playing apart from a super line with a guy like Nikita Kucherov, we're going to have depth, at least three lines who are capable of scoring any night of the week. So congratulations to Steven Stamkos for achieving the 700-point plateau. Good article on the Hockey News this week that tells you accurately. He would have been there and then some a lot earlier in his career if it wasn't derailed by injuries and lockout. The freak injury he suffered was a matinee game against Boston where he catches his leg against the post. Remember that all those years ago? Thoracic outlet syndrome, I think he was also a victim to. And then, of course, we had the lockout shortened season where he was about a 1.2 point per game player, which is exceptional, and he scored somewhere close to 30 goals in the 48 games. I mean, he is an exceptional scorer, an elite goal scorer who we have seen a little bit less out of the last couple of years. If he scores, we win. Plain and simple. Now, to the storyline of last night, the Toronto game. This is the one that we're going to circle, and this is the one that I think John Cooper is all too happy to talk about today when they go over it in film. We got outplayed. Mike Babcock has always brought a game plan to the ice that stifles what we want to do offensively. It looks at how we get out of the zone. It looks at how we control transition. It looks at our speed, and it takes option one away. It's like the great old adage about playing Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. To play Mike Babcock or great coaches in hockey, they're going to take away the number one thing you want to do best. If you want to look for an easy example of that, take a look at our early power plays. You know how we come up the ice. We come up the ice with speed through the neutral zone, and then once we get somewhere between the red line and the opposition's blue line, we drop back a pass because we've allowed for bodies to collapse towards our puck carrier. We feed it back to a Victor Hedman or a Nikita Kucherov so they can hit the blue line with speed and we don't have to dump the puck behind the net. Well, what does Mike Babcock do? He leaves a trailer right in that passing lane to take away the flow of everything we want to do offensively on the power play. Same thing when we're trying to get out of our defensive zone. We're trying to make a quick first pass so we can get down the ice with speed. What does Babcock do? He uses the speed of Toronto to clog up those passing lanes to force us to play a longer game. And then he traps in the middle of the ice so we can't go skate up and down with Toronto. The Maple Leafs did a really good job of that towards the back half of the first period and then pretty much for the rest of the game. They cut us off. Now, there's one caveat to that. In the third period with a 4-1 lead, whether or not we earned it, we have it. We have a 3-goal lead. So we're all too happy to get the puck to the red line, dump it in, keep the shift short. But the point remains, we got outplayed thoroughly last night. And if you listen to John Cooper's postgame comments, he says that it's the slew of penalties we take in the second period that allowed for Toronto to take over the game. I'm here to argue that that's about 10% of the equation. That's not totally true. Toronto had done enough, and we had played stupid enough, if I can be so blunt, that the Maple Leafs were controlling the flow of the game before we even started to take penalty one in the second period. Thankfully, we have number 88, who is our best penalty killer, who was doing his best Dalsim from Street Fighter last night. The dude was a yoga instructor. It was crazy. He kept us in the game. We score a couple of timely goals in the final 40 seconds of the second period. And next thing you know, we have a chokehold on this one, even though we don't deserve it. There was a listener to the Joe Bolts Fan podcast, somebody who follows me on Twitter. And if you want to engage in this conversation, I think Twitter is woefully overrated. I'm not a big fan of social media at all. I think the dregs of the earth are largely on social media. But sometimes it's actually good for a legitimate conversation. And I think in hockey Twitter, you find that sometimes. If you stay away from people like Philly fans, you'll be in really good shape. But there was somebody last night who wrote to me after I said, you know, if you could be embarrassed in a 4-1 win, this is that game. And they said, Jake Wolf is the guy, at ROS Wolfman, RWS Wolfman, 182. Reminds me of the Lightning's first loss to Nashville. Dominated the game and lost 4-1. It's nice to be on the other side of one of these. I think that's 100% true, Jake. That first game against Nashville, we played in our building. We find a way to lose that game, but it's through no fault of our own. A goalie stands on his head. We dominate possession, zone time, scoring chances, all of it. And yet we don't win. Goalies are going to do that sometimes to you. That's what happened to Toronto last night. If you can make a statement in a 4-1 loss, they did. But the good news for John Cooper, where he has to be really happy, is you get the 2 points. You further assert yourself in the division. Give yourself a crack at the one seed in the East, which is super important because that means you get wild card team 2. And you do so while having an hour or 2 hour long video session to come where you can lay into your team for lazy plays. I thought the epitome of how we played last night, in terms of how stupidly we played, were on a penalty kill in the first period, and Yanni Gourde, twice in a row from behind the Toronto net, tries to make a low percentage pass to the point to try to generate an offensive moment for us against one of the most potent power plays in all of the sport. You make 2 low IQ plays in a row. We also tried for the perfect goal too often last night. Toronto's speed is not the same as a team like the Rangers or the Florida Panthers. They will get in the passing lanes and turn a dumb pass into a 2-on-1 going the other way. Before the game last night, Steven Stamkos said this, and it ended up being a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think he was worried about it, but here's what he said before we played.
We can't have that letdown now just because he's back. Obviously, he's an elite goaltender, but we want to maintain the play that we've had. We can't just think that he's back and he's got it covered. He does most of the time, but we'll look to continue playing the right way.
Well, he didn't. Played the wrong way. After about 10 minutes of this game, we relied on Vasilevskiy and Vasilevskiy only. Good news is he's up to those challenges, and it's only a game in December, so I'm not going to be pissed off for a week. But Stamkos said you can't just rely on 88 to win you the game. And that's exactly what we did. Toronto took it to us last night. We get 3 more cracks at him. We play him again at Amalie Arena next month. It'll be good to see what adjustments we make. But Mike Babcock in Detroit and in Toronto has always had something for us to stifle what we do best and forcing us to make counter plays. One example of that, before I get to the final point of this week's podcast, is the JT Miller breakaway on the power play. If you noticed, looking at the power play flow, which I was talking about earlier, that drop back pass to Hedman or Kucherov or Stamkos or whoever was taken away. So what did we do? We knew the numbers worked to our advantage. We spring JT Miller on a breakaway on the power play. He just loses his feet. He had a chance to finish that. He had Frederik Andersen completely juked out, misses the net in a breakaway. No big deal, but it shows you that there are counter moves to the moves that Toronto makes. And we almost landed one there. Another example of that is we, instead of the drop back pass, you had Nikita Kucherov skating in at full speed and gaining the red line, and Toronto didn't know what to do with it. They're used to a certain tempo that we're going to play, and we countered off of it. We need to do that with our zone exits next time we play, and we need to make more simple passes and simple plays towards the net next time we play. Season series, Tampa Bay 1, Toronto nothing, and now the Bolts have 51 points. Before I make the final point of the week on Eric Chernak and the problems that the Lightning are going to have, the good kinds of problems, let's get a quick word in from our sponsor, Bill Curry Ford.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts fan, Joe Bucks fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
Before we sign off, and again, next week we'll talk about the contract implications of where Braden Point is going to be and the salary cap in the NHL. The final point this week, after I clear my throat there, is Eric Chernak. You've got yourself a good problem on your hands with number 81. Anton Strahlman was in a non-contact jersey before the game last night, the morning skate on December 13th. I said I got some intel right about Andrei Vasilevskiy. The same intel suggested that Anton Strahlman might be out for a longer time. I might have gotten that one wrong. If Anton is available non-contact-wise to participate in practice, well, that might mean he's back sooner than later. But now what do you do? Eric Chernak's development might demand that he continues to play what he's playing right now, which is between 16 and 20 minutes a night. He's played better than 20 minutes four times in his last six games. If you look at last night's minutes disparity, Chernak not only plays over 20 minutes, he gives you more than 5 minutes on the penalty kill. I understand that a lot of those minutes are because Toronto had the puck in our zone for about 90-second stretches at least twice last night, and he was on the ice for those. The point remains, though, that you play your most trusted defenseman when there are only four on the ice, and Eric Chernak is becoming one of those. So what do you do when Anton Strahlman comes back? Well, first of all, I think when he is available, Anton will play third line or third pair defensive minutes. So Chernak may not have his minutes sliced or diced until about game two or three of Strahlman's return. But I also don't know that when Anton comes back, sending 81 down to the AHL does you any good at all. So Tampa's got some problems on its hands, because if you want to send somebody else down to the minors, they've got to clear waivers, and Eric does not. So he's the most expendable piece, while he's also become one of the most valuable pieces on your defensive core. It's a conundrum for us. It's a great problem to have, this depth, but the winning formula before the season is over, one way or the other, Eric Chernak is part of that formula. So we'll see what decisions General Manager Julian Brisebois comes up with when Anton is ready to go. As for the week ahead, Tampa Bay now heads to Canada for a four-game road trip. It's mostly the Western Canada trip. Starting on Sunday night, we play the red-hot Winnipeg Jets. In fact, most of these teams are red-hot and or capable. It's amazing how many good teams we seem to be playing or catching teams at a time when they're playing really good hockey. But Sunday night is the next time we play. No Saturday game this week. It's Sunday at Winnipeg, 7 p.m. puck drop, followed by a Tuesday, that's December the 18th, 1 week before Christmas, a Tuesday night game in Vancouver. That's a 10 p.m. start. Vancouver playing really well. Then you follow that up on Thursday in Calgary. Calgary is now in first place in the West. They've gone absolutely bonkers the last 2 weeks. So we'll be playing the Flames Thursday night. That's a 9 p.m. start before we convene again next week for the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. The Bolts, however, will continue on in that trip and play Edmonton Saturday the 22nd. That's at 10 p.m. All in all, we just keep winning hockey games. And that's the lesson for this week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, is that we win games in many different ways. And with Andrei Vasilevskiy back, we can win a game the old-fashioned way, the Dominic Hasek way, which is to let a goalie steal you too. But this is a to-be-continued for sure. We may be playing the best in the NHL right now, but we're not even halfway through the season. So I hope we break records and win 15 in a row. But it doesn't mean a hill of beans in a season where the goal is cup or bust. But with Andre back in the fold, oh man, this could be a scary good team. And it's really fun to watch. If you just want to stay away from the expectations for a night and just watch and enjoy this hockey team, it's one of the most entertaining products in all of sports right now. It's right up there with watching Kansas City on offense in the NFL. That game last night, Kansas City and LA, was awesome. The finish was fantastic. But I'm telling you, minute for minute, dollar for dollar, there are few better attractions in the sport than Lightning hockey right now. And so we'll talk about it next week, regular time. It will be December the 21st for the Joe Bulls Fan Podcast next week. I appreciate you listening this time around, and we'll see. Does the 8-game win streak continue to 11? I kind of doubt it, but if you play more like you did earlier in this past week versus the way you did against Toronto, I don't know who lines up and beats us in a given night. Thanks again for listening, and thanks as always to our friends at Bill Curry Ford, who sponsor this podcast all year long. The holiday season is here. If you're at the decision margin and you can't decide, should I go with dealership A or should I go with the right dealership, Bill Curry Ford, they sponsor Hockey Talk in Tampa. Thanks again as always, and we'll talk to you next week.